Our Father, we praise the name of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed our souls, who has lived, died, was buried, and rose again for our new life. Father, as we worship you this morning, open our eyes. As we turn them towards your face, open our eyes to find joy in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We've all heard of life after death in some way or another. It is something that is debated. What happens after you die? It is one of those questions that philosophy majors and religious majors will discuss. It is something that goes down to you as a regular church-going person. We contemplate. There are times in life where we may even be close to death due to sickness, disease, infirmity. And we think, what about life after death? But this morning, I want to ask you another question. And that is this: what about life after life? What about life after life? In 1967, Dr. Christian Bernard performed the first heart transplant. The recipient of the heart survived for 18 days. Down the road in White Castle, Louisiana, Fry Email in the early 90s had a heart attack, and in 1993 he was given a heart transplant. That heart transplant did not last 18 days, but almost 18 years before he received another heart transplant, which has now lasted 14 more years. Fry Email was given something. Something was implanted into his very body that gave him life after life. Church, hear this. Jesus Christ implants something into you that gives you spiritual life after life. Amen. And Christians, it is not our job to hope and pursue merely life after death, but it is ours to engage and to live life after death. Life on the daily, you and me living out our Christian faith. If you have your Bible, I would like to invite you to open up to Philippians chapter 2. Last week we looked at the exaltation of Jesus after the humbling of Jesus. We looked at Jesus being exalted after the humility in which he lived, and we looked at what does that practically look like. When we do that, this week we somewhat continue in that vein in Paul's thought and his mind. We begin in chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. When we look at verse 12, it says this: therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The question I ask to begin is this question. Paul is commending their obedience. Paul is commending what they are being obedient to the call of Christ in their lives. Even while he's away, they're being obedient. And his call to them is this: work out your salvation. Now we understand in our culture what working out is, right? It's when you go to the gym and you press machines or you pump iron. That's working out, right? Is that what Paul means here to his first century? Mary says no, because not every Christian likes to work out. And I think we get some amens for that. Then what could working out our salvation be? What does it mean when Paul says work out your salvation? And then further, what does it mean when he says to work it out with fear and with trembling? Well, that's the question that I'd like to walk through with you today. Excuse me. This idea of something being implanted and bringing life. We talked about Fry email, and we talked about that heart transplant for him. Here's another illustration if that one doesn't stick with you. The Buqua family loves to grow flowers, plants. You go to their yard and it's a beautiful spectacle of things that are well taken care of. At some point, a seed or a bulb is planted into the ground and there is life. But something has to happen further to that thing in order for it to grow up into something that is beautiful. Something that is something to enjoy and behold. Otherwise, it's just something buried in the ground, no greater than a penny or a rock. But life happens. Christian, if you do not take hold of the gospel message and work out your salvation, there is nothing to behold in your life. There is nothing of benefit in your life. Christian, take care of the salvation that has been given to you, that you might grow up into it and work it out of the ground. That you might work it out of its embryonic stage into something that is functioning. Jackson, Louisiana has a railroad museum. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been to it. Some of you guys that liked railroad. There's a railroad museum. When Eli was young, he loved trains and would watch videos of trains. And when he was younger, we took him up there to this railroad museum. You remember that, Eli? I don't know if you remember. But they had this giant locomotive engine there in the museum. But guess what it did? Nothing. Nothing. It sat there. Now, when the engineers that designed this locomotive were cutting steel and bolting things together and putting the engine inside, their plan was not so that it could sit in Jackson, Louisiana and do nothing. Their plan and design for this was to work out the power and harness the power that they put in that engine in order to accomplish the work of pulling lots of weight from city to city and supplying things for your parents or your grandparents. Hey, Christian, the gospel is not meant to just sit dormant inside of you. It is meant to work itself out every day and show itself that it might pull strong like a locomotive engine and present the gospel message and the gospel glory of God and Christ to all around us. You are a locomotive in that sense, designed for something to display and transport the very power of God. So let's look at a passage of scripture, because I think Jesus told it in this way, which makes so much sense. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said this: that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside a sea. And great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and he sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in a parable, saying, a sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up and had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, they were scorched. That's it, verse 6. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds, here it is, fell among, no, it's not. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus gave them this parable. He entrusted. He said, listen. Now in his explanation further down, we're going to read it in verse 23. Listen and key in on what Jesus said about the good soil. Verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. This one understands, comprehends. And I looked up this Greek word for understands because I thought there's something here. And it means to grasp something, to get it. When that sower was throwing and casting his seed out, his intent was not to feed the birds, I can guarantee. His intent was not to feed the rocks, I can guarantee. His intent was not to feed the weeds, I can guarantee. His intent was to produce fruit. And this is when working out our salvation comes into play. Now you say, well, okay. Well, that sounds like a broadcast at the beginning of salvation. And it is. But notice he says it bore fruit. 100, 60, 30. It bore fruit. Christian, hear me please. We as a Baptist church spend a lot of time and effort focusing on evangelism, as we should. But Christianity is not all about evangelism. It is also about discipleship and worship. And as our church promotes, discipleship is learning how to work out what God has put into us that we might bear Christian fruit. How did this seed bear fruit? It was put in good soil. And as I mentioned last week, I'll say it once again. What type of soil are you cultivating in your soul? What type of soil are you cultivating daily to promote growth of the seed which God has put into you? And that's a good question. And I feel it is my duty to ask my people. Are you in prayer? Praying to God. God, conform me to your thoughts. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. God, conform my will to be your will today. God, use me for your purposes today. God, tame my temper today. Lord, give me patience. Are you cultivating that environment for fruit? Are you reading God's word or listening to God's word? Do you input anything in which God can teach and refine you? You know, any good gardener will tell you have to prune things back and shape things in order for the health and in order to bear good fruit. Are you doing personal pruning? Salvation must be gotten. Do you get it? Do you comprehend it or do you just understand it? Do you just know of it? Or do you really get it, what salvation is? Do you get the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're going to talk about that in just a second. Do you get it? Let me take one step back for a moment and set a stage for you. We're talking about this morning working out our salvation. If you are going to build something, if you're going to build a building, what's the first step and most important step of that building? All right, you say it. It's the foundation. And Jesus would agree. And Jesus said this way. In Matthew 7, everyone who hears of these words, Chase read this earlier. Everyone who hears these words and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. The foundation. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on his house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who does not build his house on, or who builds his house on the sand. Rain fell, floods came, wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Christian, look, let me communicate this to you the best I can. Your life is like a construction project. You are growing life like from the seed, but you are also, you're like a construction project. And I don't know if any of you have ever built anything. When I was in college, my friends and I built a shed in the backyard, a storage shed for my dad. I mean, I didn't design it. I just hammered and screwed and did those kind of things. But we built a shed. And the first thing we had to do was make sure we bought these little blocks that you could fit 2x4s in to make an off-the-ground foundation. And each of us had different parts to do. And some of it was tedious. Some of it was fun. Operating the power tools and such was fun. Your life, your Christian life, is a work project. And let me communicate this as best I can. There are going to be some fun and good and happy days in your Christian walk. And somebody was telling me this week about their child wanting to be baptized and commit their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a good day. And we celebrated that together, rejoiced in that. But there are days when that same child is going to make some really bad decisions. And you got to deal with those. Your Christian life is being worked out in those good things and in those bad things. And when we pray for patience, God give me patience, when that child makes a really bad decision that hurts me and others around him and embarrasses everybody, Lord, give me that spirit to number my days and remember the value when those good things are happening. You know, yesterday was a good day for some of the Hortons, and it was a challenging day for others. Yeah. Some of you in this room are going through good seasons and maybe bad seasons, and good days and bad days. But here's the thing. Work out your salvation in every one of those days. Let the work be done in the good day and in the bad day. And as we cultivate that ground of fruit bearing, God, we pray to you. God, we read your word. And God, we wait and watch. Be constant in prayer, Paul said. That's the day-to-day Christian life, growth, and building project that we're working on. Let me give you a tool. A lot of men like tools. Something to cut with, or chop with, or work with. I'm going to give you a tool this morning that you already know. It's a tool you already all have, Christian. You know this tool. But maybe the tool has gotten covered up at the bottom of your toolbox. Maybe it's been forgotten in the top of a closet. But this is something I want you to think about, is the working out of your salvation. The Apostle Paul said, in the way that you received Christ, so walk in him. You familiar with that verse? In the way that you have received Christ, so walk in him. How did we receive Jesus? How did we first come to know Jesus? What was the message that brought us to Jesus? Let's call it the message of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, y'all still with me? If you came to know Jesus through the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is this. I'm going to give you four thoughts of how you came to know Jesus Christ. You believed that God created you and that God exists and made all things. Secondly, you believe that you sinned before God, that you transgressed His good and holy commands, and that you were guilty of sin and knew that the punishment for that sin was damnation, eternal damnation and separation from God. Thirdly, you repented of your sin. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and washed away your sin. And fourthly, and now you believe that you will have life after death and life after life. And you will reign and rule and exist with God for all eternity. This is, and I'll say it this way, you will enjoy God forever. You'll enjoy God forever. I want you to take those four things. I want you to work those into today, because sometimes we take that gospel message and we say, yep, I remember that. That's what got me to Christianity. But a lot of us forget that that same message is what gets us through day by day to work out the salvation that is in us. And let me explain that if I can. God created you. Sometimes throughout the day or when we face things that are a struggle, we need to remember that God made us. He made us for a purpose. He gifted us for certain reasons. And there is intent for the things that come to pass in our lives. Why are you at the school you're at? Why did God give you the parents He gave you or the children He gave you? God ordered all of these things together because He has purpose for you and your situation. Peter says it like this. He says, you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has given you the family, the church family. God is giving you the emotions, the personality that He's giving you, because He's using you to declare something about who He is. And look, there may be times you may not like your church family. You may not like your own family. You may not like your emotions. You may not like your giftings or lack thereof. But daily, when we think those thoughts, we have to go back to the truth that God made me for a purpose. And He has ordered and ordained these things to be for a reason. I'm going to accept them and trust God that He knew how to make me when He made me. And He knew what situations I would be in before they even came to be. And He put me in certain situations for a reason. This is the gospel working it out every day in your life. Trusting God in the season you're in the season you're not in. It is working out our salvation day by day. Let me give you the second one. You are a sinner. That's the second thought that got us to salvation. I sin. And Christian, I sin just like you sin, and I will sin just like you will sin, and do things that are wrong and act on inappropriate desires that are in my soul. How does that help us through the day by day? How does that truth help us today or tomorrow? Here's how it helps us. Your sin, Christian, you have this power in you that causes these inappropriate desires. You will act upon those. But as a Christian, you must know that those are temporary. You are not mastered by them anymore. And if you want a great reading on this, you can read Romans 5, 6, and 7. You are a sinner, but you are not mastered by sin. Before you are a Christian, you are a sinner that is mastered by sin. Meaning, you're not willing to make the sin temporary. You're willing to continue in it. As a Christian, you know that you are a sinner, but it's temporary because I recognize what I've done, and I repent of those things and turn away from them. A lot of times, non-believers like to come and say, yeah, you've got all the sex scandals in your church just like we do out in the world. You're no different than we are. And the response to that is, we do because there are sinful people, but we don't live in it. We shun it, we condemn it, we walk away from it when we find out about it. We don't tolerate it and celebrate it. Christian, you're the same mindset every day. I spoke inappropriately today. I don't like that. I'm not mastered by that. It doesn't own me. I'm willing to turn away from it and say, I'm going to do my best not to do that again tomorrow. I looked at something I shouldn't have looked at today. It was wrong. I'm not mastered by that. I can walk away from it. I'm not addicted to that sin. I'm walking away from the gospel every day. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 says it like this. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. The Christian says, you're not my master. I don't need you. I'm walking away. And Christian, it happened the first time you gave your life to Jesus. That is repentance. And it happens each day as you confess sin and walk away from it. It's the gospel every day, working out the salvation that was implanted into you. Let me give you the third one. A third thought of the gospel is this. Jesus defeated sin on your behalf. Jesus is the Savior. He lived for you in his righteousness, and he died for you for your forgiveness, to pay the debt. How does this work out daily? Well, not only does Jesus pay the penalty of sin, but he's giving you victory over the power of sin. Well, what does that mean? That means this. Your greatest joys and delights are not in giving in to indulgences. Your greatest joy and delight as a Christian is to say, what God says will give me more pleasure than whatever this thing is. What God says will give me more pleasure than whatever this thing is promising to me. This is power, Christian. When you understand that you are a believer now in Jesus Christ, your greatest joys are not in indulging in sinful activities, but in finding pleasure in your God who's giving you a better way. Daily living, working out salvation. Let me give you a few passages of Scripture. 1 John 3, 9. Well, we read 3, 6 earlier. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. Let me read verse 9. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. Do you see that there? He's implanted that seed. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. If you continue in that sin and do not turn from it, it is evidence that you are not born again. And you may need to examine some things, Christian. Verse 10 says this, by this we are evident. It is evident. We who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is the one who does not love his brother. Let me give you one more verse from Romans 6. I told you about this earlier. Do not present your members to sin, to be mastered by sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. There it is. Hey, Christian, daily. God made me and he's established these things. I'm going to receive them and understand that God's had a purpose in all of these things. Secondly, I'm a sin, but I'm a temporary sinner, not a permanent sinner. Whatever I'm giving into is something I need, I'm willing and want to turn away from. And thirdly, Jesus accomplished that victory for you so that the power and the lure of sin is not the greatest power in your life. The power and the lure to God is. And finally, you will enjoy God forever. Daily, we need to think about this. It's one of the reasons why we're 2024, the year of joy. If you do not have joy, you are not filled with God's Spirit. You, Christian, joy is a fruit of God's Spirit in you. We read the passage from John 6 earlier. Jesus is the bread of life, producing life. You will live, Jesus said in verse 51 of John chapter 6, he says, he will live forever who eats of this bread. Not only will you live forever, but you will have joy with him forever. Let's keep going. Let me show you that. John chapter 10. Jesus says in verse 28, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Psalm 16:11 says this. It says, in your presence, O God, there is fullness of joy. Christian, know this. God has intended you to be with him and to enjoy and rule and reign with him forever. Why does this matter? Here's why it matters. Because daily, when we look at the defeats, the struggles, the persecutions, the boredom, whatever it is that we face in our life, we know that there will be a day that all of that will be wiped away. And the scripture says he will wipe away every tear from our eye. And there will be a delight in the presence of God for forever. And when you look back at the book of Philippians, it is filled with the admonition over and over. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. And so this fourth facet of the gospel is every day we can have joy in God, knowing that he's created things for a purpose, that we're only temporarily sinners. We're temporarily bound to sin, that Jesus has accomplished the victory. We walk daily in the joy that we will be with him and in his presence forever in joy. So Christian, this is the working out of your salvation daily by the gospel message. Those four things of how do we deal with day-to-day life? How do we cultivate what he's placed in us to give us life? This seed that's been placed in your soul that is intended to bear fruit. Let me close with one thought today. When we go back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. At the end of verse 12, he says this, work out your salvation, your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then when you get to verse 13, he says this. It's really interesting. In verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation. And when you get to verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you. There it is. Thank you, Wayne. It is God who works in you. And that you is a plural you. And they go, well, that's just grammar. It's grammar, but it means something. Work out your own salvation, for it is God who works in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. The working out of our salvation is not intended to be alone. It's not intended to be done alone. After church, we will go together. We will eat together because we are a family of God, and we'll have Sunday lunch together. It is important for us to be together as a body and to talk and encourage each other's faith. When we don't do it together, when you don't have conversations and you don't say, "Oh man, I really enjoy Craig Daigle. That, he's just encouragement to me. Oh man, I love getting to have lunch with Miss Sarah. She's I enjoyed the conversation I had with her." All of these things come to be, and they encourage us to let it work out. That we're not alone in this, and that they face the same struggles that we do, and they serve the same God that we do, and they have may have different purposes, but we all have the same general purpose together. And then look at the end of this verse right here. It is God who works in you. You know, verse 12 tells us to work out our salvation, but verse 13 says, God is doing that work by His Spirit. And this is where that great balance of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty work together so beautifully. Christian, create that environment. Make decisions every day to encourage and make a place where that seed can grow. Water it. Pray on it. Think about it. Study God's Word. Make that environment. But only God can make the growth happen. Isn't agriculture a neat thing? Isn't agriculture a neat thing? Like, we can create the environment, but we can't give it life. God gives you life. And it is for His good pleasure that He does it. We'll talk about this more next week. Christian, work it out. Not like this, but like this. Christian, work it out. Not like this, but like this. Christian, work it out. Work out those truths that you've learned at the point of salvation. Work it out today. And work it out tomorrow. And work it out the next day. For it is God who works in you for His good pleasure. Let's pray together. Father, we love You and we're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for the Word that You have put implanted into us to germinate, to grow. Oh God, continue Your work in us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.